Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to be back after a week at our denomination's General Assembly in St. Louis. It was a week of great energy and hope, a week of talking about change and yet rooting ourselves in tradition, and most of all, I would say it was a week of love. We have newly elected co-moderators of the denomination for the next 2 years, and one of them repeatedly called the commissioners her dear assembly, and that just gave such a warm feeling to the whole gathering, and the love of our denomination's leaders for our church was just transparently clear. And not only the love of our leaders, but our commissioners and all gathered there clearly love Christ's church. General Assembly is important to me for a number of reasons. First of all, it's a place for me to experience worship. When I lead worship, I don't always get a chance to experience it in the same way. And so it's a real blessing to worship every day. And to sing with more than 1,000 people, whether you're singing old favorites like The Church is One Foundation or some newer songs like In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified, or we had a whole set of African communion responses. It was really exciting. And General Assembly is a place where I rejoice in the breadth of our denomination. Not only do I have a chance to see old friends, but I heard youth and young adults speaking up on a wide range of issues important to them, and heard speakers from Presbyterian churches in Lebanon and France and South Sudan and Cuba and Korea. The Presbyterian Church is all over the world. And last but not least, the General Assembly is a place where I am challenged to think about what God feels about some things that I might rather sweep under the rug. We did talk a lot about the refugee children being separated from their parents at our border. We talked about the ongoing challenges of racism. We talked about environmental stewardship. And these are some issues that we may feel caught in the middle of. We don't know what the way forward is on all of them, but we know we cannot go back. In our gospel story today, the disciples are also caught in the middle. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee, and they haven't gotten to where they're going, but they're in a storm, and they cannot go back. Jesus has decided to take his ministry into new directions. He's heading into Gentile territory for the first time. But there in the middle of the sea, this violent storm arises. Now you may remember that a number of the disciples at least are experienced fishermen, and that leads me to think that they're experienced sailors as well. But they fear for their lives as the waves beat into the boat, and they believe that they are perishing. They're terrified. And so they desperately call out to Jesus for help. Teacher, do you not care? Do you not care that we are perishing? This is a common feeling, I think, this sense of being terrified and worried that we're abandoned. And in our Old Testament story as well, we see the fear that the Israelites had in the face of their enemy and in the face of Goliath. Their fate is going to depend on the outcome of this battle with an enormous warrior and somebody to defend them. They know, the Israelites know that they don't have any champion who is as big, as fearsome as Goliath. And they would become slaves of the Philistines. They've got so much to be afraid of. Battle, death, slavery. And maybe the Israelites too are crying out, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? Maybe we are heading into unknown territory. We don't know what lies ahead of us and we can't go back. We don't know whether we're heading into assisted living or deployment or the health of our parents. I'm guessing that some of the things the future may hold for you may be scary. If you're not worried about the future, perhaps you're worried about the present, because there are things to be worried about. There are fearsome things in our world, and they are real. Perhaps you see people around you dying. Perhaps your circle of friends is shrinking, and you grieve for them and you experience loss. You feel the storm of change battering you, and you may be afraid. Maybe you are wondering, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? And in the storm, in the place of danger, in the middle of the sea, Jesus is calm. Jesus is relaxed. In fact, he's so relaxed that he has fallen asleep. But even in his sleep, Jesus is in control of the situation. The disciples are running around frantically, but Jesus is calm and in control. And I think it's so interesting that Jesus does not tell the disciples, pull yourself together, man. Just save the boat by doing this and fixing that. He doesn't say come up with the right plan. Instead, he calms them down. He calms the storm. He calms the disciples. Peace. Be still. Jesus is the Lord of creation, and he's the Lord of the disciples' lives. And so we too turn to him in the storms of our lives, storms of health crises, storms of finances, storms of relationships ending. There are storms that we cannot manage by ourselves, but Jesus is Lord of the wind and the wave. He is Lord of peace. He is Lord over our fear. And we can turn to him in our anxiety and in our losses. Now, Jesus doesn't call us to be indifferent in the face of the storm. He doesn't call us to be passive and doing nothing, but to be calm, to have peace, to use our energy wisely, not rushing around like crazy. This week I was reminded, as I studied this passage, I was reminded by John Bunyan's classic allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress, which is that there's a chief character called Christian, and Christian is the archetype of a person who is struggling to lead a life of faith and on a symbolic journey towards heaven. Near the end of Christian's journey, he has to cross a great river, and this river makes him desperately afraid. Nevertheless, with his friend that he's traveling with, whose name is Hopeful, they wade into the waters to cross the river to keep on their journey. And Christian cries out, saying, I sink in deep waters. The billows go over my head. All his waves go over me. But Hopeful replies, be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom of the river, and it is good. The disciples are afraid for their lives as they head into this unknown territory, and as they encounter this storm that swamps the boat and threatens to sink them, and we too are often afraid for our lives, for our literal lives sometimes, for the lives we have known, the way of life we enjoy, the relationships we care about. And we head into unknown territory, and storms threaten to sink us. How do we respond? How do we respond to our challenging life situations? How do we respond to changes in the life of our church that we don't know how to address? Changes perhaps in our denomination that we don't understand? Losses among our circle of friends? Do we rely on fear? After all, it's a familiar response. We know how to do fear. Or do we remember the peace of God? Peace and confidence in the middle of the storm. peace and confidence that rested on David as he faced Goliath? Peace in the middle of an uncomfortable argument or a different way of doing things. Peace even as we face the end of life. The word of God to us in the time of fear is peace, be still. Stop and breathe. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe out your anxiety. Let it go. Breathe in hope. Breathe out discouragement. Let that go. Though we may say, I sink in deep waters and the billows go over my head, all of God's waves go over me, we can still be of good cheer, sisters and brothers, for the bottom of the river is good. Jesus is our firm foundation. He is the sound bottom of the river on which we can stand. We can trust in him. We can cross to the other side with him. We can face uncertainties with him. Because at the root of Jesus' peace is love. The deep love of God for you and for me. The deep love of God for our denomination, for the church universal, and for all our world. Peace, be still. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.